This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, yeah, little Bill Haley in the comments. We're going to rock around the clock. I guess we're going to rock around the clock inside the house tonight. Because if we go and rock around the clock out at some dance hall, you aren't going to be able to get in. So, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, safely secured in our studio, along with my buddy and partner in crime and in good works, Big Ed Davis, who is so vital to this whole station, by the way. Thank God. We thank you very much for joining us this Monday morning, March 30th already. Holy Toledo. In a few minutes, Mark Scribner of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. And we're going to talk about that little dust-up that Donald Trump had with General Motors. Remember when he was saying he might have to basically threaten GM with the Defense Production Act if they didn't make ventilators? That seems to have smoothed over, but we're going to talk about all of that with Mark Scribner. It's a very interesting thing. Also, the two most important things that you can do that will all but guarantee you will not get this virus, we're going to tell you what they are. We're going to tell you what they are. I think it's critically important, so stay tuned for that. We're going to talk with our spy in the sky, Angelo Ceresi, a little bit later. New York State, that's where he is, kind of keeps an eye out for what's going on over there, and you know how tough it has been for New Yorkers, so stay tuned for that. And what are the 10 states where we have more obese people, heavy people per capita? We're going to tell you where they are. Right now, they're all hunkered down, those people and us, in their homes. But where are those states? We'll tell you. By the way, we're sponsored in part by the best barbershop in the Tampa Bay area, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. You know, your hair keeps growing, even during a virus pandemic. Things that you have to do, one of them is go to a barbershop. So we continue to stay in contact with the best barber in Tampa Bay, Andrew. By the way, his shop is located in Dunedin. In Dunedin, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. And remember, you can always listen to our show anytime you want. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're worried about the way the virus is going. Well, turn on our show. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. We're with you all the time. You can be laying in bed and listening to us. OurFreedomWorks.com. Hit the podcast button. There you go. Pull up one of our shows. It's like your audio nightlight. All right. Well, we got a lot of things going on as per usual. It's all related. You know, after a while, Ed, you want to talk about anything but this virus, but you can't. Everything in the world is related to it. I don't care where you go. You can go to the farthest ends of the earth, and it's something that we have to deal with.
Well, I had a little cabin fever yesterday, so I needed to get out and burn some of that $1.69 gas up.
So $1.69 in Tampa Bay. Wow. Yeah.
So wow. I went to some of the places where on a Sunday people would be walking around like crazy and streets would be packed and stuff, and I went down by Safety Harbor. I probably drove almost to the end before I saw one person walking.
You're kidding.
I mean, it was literally
Safety Harbor,
just,
for those of you that don't know, is a charming little town. It's, it's much like Dunedin. Yep. They're both charming kind of beach towns.
Yeah, where people just go and hang out. And, you know, with everything being closed and the roads are just, you know, I'm doing traffic reports in the morning and struggling to find somebody that got an accident, for crying out loud. There's just nothing. The bridges, you know, one of the bridges, Howard Franklin, one of the worst ones here in Tampa, and every day there's something on the bridge that will back it up for miles. You know, there's a crash on the bridge blocking half the lanes, and there's no backup. People just driving right around it.
Isn't that amazing?
So it's just, yeah.
I mean, it's a whole different world. I mean, how would have anybody like a year ago even thought about this? I mean,
yeah.
Just it never, you know, and we would say on the show from time to time, you know, barring something unforeseen, this will occur, right? And that's something you say all the time. Well, something unforeseen did come along.
And my point is that it looks like, I'd say at least 90% of everybody's following the rules. You know, the people that are out on boats that are supposed to be keeping a 6-foot rule, come on. They're not keeping that. You know, they go into these islands and they're all jumping all over each other and stuff like that. And I mean, if you got a 20-foot boat, how are you going to put 4 people in there and keep a 6-foot?
There's no way.
Then there's no way. No.
You got to just trust. There's always trust.
And here's the thing. The beaches are supposed to reopen Friday.
Are they really?
Yes.
Governor DeSantis is going to allow our beaches to reopen?
Remember, Clearwater shut them down.
Yeah.
Clearwater shut the beaches down.
I
don't know, but the sign says closed until, what is it? It'll be, what? Whatever this Friday is, the 3rd? Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yes. So.
Well, let's not hold on. That would be great if we could allow it. I mean, it would be that we're, but you know what's going to happen.
And there's nobody on the beach either.
But you know what's going to happen. And I want to do this story before we get to Mark Scribner, because it is so important. I think I found this, Ed, and it's maybe the most important thing I have seen. You know Jesse Waters, Fox News? He featured Dr. David Price of the Weill Cornell Medical Center on his show on Saturday. And here's what this doctor gave as advice. And he said, you may hear a little inflection in my voice like I'm emotional, but it's not because I'm scared. It's actually the opposite. He said, for the first time in a while, I'm actually not scared. I work at probably the premier hospital in New York City. Our hospital, almost exclusively a COVID-19 hospital. But we're learning, and we know a lot. And what I want you guys to know is that every single day we're getting better. We know more. And I'm confident that the stuff I can tell you today should make you feel like when this comes to your community, that you don't have to be scared and you can protect your family. He said, the virus is primarily transmitted by touching somebody who has the virus and then touching your face.
Mm-hmm.
So his two things are, don't touch anybody. Just don't touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And do not touch your face. Get into the habit, however you can do it, of keeping your hands away from your face. He said if you do those two things, you have a 99% chance of not getting this virus.
Mm.
Now, the other thing is to wash your hands every time you come back from going out from your normal environment where you know nobody has it. So you put a sign up on your door as you come in. Wash hands, you know, or something like that. But he said, don't touch people and don't touch your face. He said, you know, even if you were sitting and talking with someone that had the virus, if you didn't touch them.
So it's not airborne.
It is airborne. If he sneezes on you or coughs on you, you're not going to put your face or your you know what I mean, up next to him that way. But you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In other words, it's touching people that have it and then touching your face. Because if you touch your face, your nostrils, your ears, your mouth, even your eyes are areas that the virus can penetrate. So that's what this guy says. I found it to be very interesting. He also addressed the idea that the virus is transmitted by long-sustained contact. In other words, with somebody that might have it or through the air. He said there's a small thought that it can be aerosolized. In other words, floating in the air.
Right.
Okay. Aerosolized. And that it kind of can, that it can kind of exist a little bit in the air. He said, the thought at this point is that you actually have to have very long, sustained contact with somebody. And I'm talking about 15 to 30 minutes in an unprotected environment, meaning you're in a very closed room and without any type of mask where you to get it that way. But very simply stated, the overwhelming majority of people are getting this by physically touching somebody who has it or will develop it and then touching your face. So there you go. He thinks that you have a 99% chance of not getting it if you practice that. Very interesting. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, why did Donald Trump get so upset with General Motors? Going to talk with Mark Scribner about it.
Here she comes.
Here she comes.
That little town flirt.
Here she
comes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more.
We are back, and delighted to have back Mark Scribner of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Had him on many times over the years. And, Mark, I hope you're hunkered down and safe wherever you are right now.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, I've been Washington, D.C., but haven't really left the house, and certainly not the neighborhood for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we're all kind of Skyping. You know, even when I'm watching television now, I'm watching these people normally in a studio. You know, they're not in the studio anymore. They're actually at home, you know. I guess in many ways the Internet has made things maybe a little bit easier to cope with when it comes to something like this. Anyway, we want to talk about what I find to be a very interesting subject, and that is Donald Trump's relationship with General Motors. Throughout this ordeal, or whatever you want to call it, they've been trying to build these ventilators, and apparently Donald Trump got the idea that General Motors was backing off, you know, manufacturing them without dickering around, I guess, with the price and everything else. So I guess Trump has backed off this a little bit. But I want to ask you about this because you say in your piece that he wrongly wanted to invoke the DPA, the Defense Production Act, against GM in this whole thing. Could you kind of bring us up to date on that?
Yeah, so what happened late last week was the president put out a memo saying that he was invoking the Defense Production Act, and he authorized the Secretary of Health and Human Services to ensure that General Motors prioritize these sort of, they were talking about ventilator contracts, but it was potentially broader, whatever the government dreamed up and said, you, this automaker, start producing medical devices or other equipment that we want. And this says the Defense Production Act has been around for a long time, not frequently used because I think generally people recognize that bureaucrats in Washington aren't very good at producing things. And I think that still remains the case
yes.
here. And I think this is, I think the president may have wanted to at least appear that he was doing something. But we got to keep in mind that this is, we're talking about General Motors. Yes, they partnered with a medical device manufacturer called Ventec. But this is a car maker, and you're expecting them to immediately start manufacturing something they've never made before that needs to work 100% of the time, or at least very close to that. So I think there were some unreasonable expectations. General Motors and Ventec said that this order changes nothing in terms of what they're actually able to produce. And you think about it. This is an automaker. They're used to assembling big parts together to roll off the production line. They're not well position to manufacture the kinds of small parts that go into Ventec ventilators. I think that, you've got to retool an entire factory in Indiana in order to do this. They've been working around the clock to do that, General Motors and Ventec. And you've started seeing other medical device makers like Medtronic, who have been releasing their blueprints for other manufacturers to potentially retool their facilities and start building to spec. But these are, I think it's just frankly unrealistic to expect a manufacturer to start making something that is never made before and that is, critical to life. There isn't much margin for error.
Yes.
I think the president was very unreasonable in invoking the Defense Production Act, potentially setting a dangerous precedent. And it won't do anything to move the needle. And I think the fear is for a lot of people that you're going to have bureaucrats in Washington now stepping onto the plant floor, gumming things up and potentially actually reducing production.
Yeah.
I think that is something to be concerned about of well-meaning people, but not very competent people in Washington, D.C., deciding that they know best. And that's always a danger. But right now, in this time of emergency and panic, it's especially severe.
Right. Trump seemed to back off the threat. Maybe it was because he had second thoughts, did a little more talking with GM, whatever it was. He seems to have this love-hate relationship sometimes with people. I guess he feels that if he can kind of scold them and then they come hat in hand, and then he's, then he's happy with them. I don't know exactly how it all went with GM. But I'm thinking back, GM, of course, we all have read it, during World War II, all of our car manufacturers geared up to make tanks and weapons and everything else, did a wonderful job. And so I guess we want to think in a way that all of a sudden they can just quickly retool themselves to create these ventilators. It's not that easy. They have to, like you said, supply chain issues and everything else. So, but it brings to mind maybe a larger question, and that is the authority of the president to be able to direct private industry to do things like this, like they did in World War II. Your thoughts on that?
Right, and I think this is, I think in this case, it potentially sets a dangerous precedent. What the president did, while he didn't, seize General Motors an equity stake in it, he didn't physically take ownership of it. He effectively nationalized them in saying that the federal government now directs production, now controls your company's production. And like I said, there's nothing to support the claim that the Defense Production Act will actually move the needle on production in a positive way. But instead, what we have is we're going to have a long-lasting situation here where this is how we saw the president invoke this act. And I think, you know, future presidents or perhaps this president in a future action will be looking back at this and saying, you know, maybe this is time for us to nationalize this industry in response to this crisis or concern. You know, I think the Defense Production Act, while it's been reauthorized continuously for the past 70 years, without a lot of opposition, this is something I think members of Congress, when things settle down, should revisit, because this is a tremendous amount of authority to put in the hands of one person. And absent a true wartime emergency, I'm not sure if that authority should be extended to the president. So I think that, you know, right now I don't think there's, you know, people aren't going to be in Congress aren't going to be talking about reforming the Defense Production Act, let alone repealing it. But I think these are things when sort of the dust settles with the coronavirus outbreak, this should be something on the list of things to take a look at.
We're talking with Mark Scribner. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we are talking about, well, in a way, Mark, we're talking about the authority of the president when it comes to a relationship with business when we have a crisis. And you just mentioned maybe this does not arise to the occasion, at least at this point, of, say, having a war, you know, a world war, God forbid. But it's very interesting. You know, this is like a brave new world for us. We've never gone through it. None of us alive have, you know, anything to this extent. And so I guess are we all sort of still feeling our way through all of this in terms of the relationship, say, of the president and a business?
Yeah, I think you're unless the president does something else with the Defense Production Act, I don't. Like, for instance, I don't think you're going to see General Motors challenge this invocation of presidential authority in court. And that's really what you would need if you wanted to actually see what are the bounds of presidential authority right now. So, you know, unless the president does something different that really aggravates the business community, I don't expect to see that kind of challenge. But, you know, something that was particularly surreal about this episode was immediately before President Trump invoked this authority last week, you had Democrats mocking the president over his, you know, saying he didn't know how to anything about manufacturing. Well, then in the next sentence saying, President Trump, please invoke the Defense Production Act. So you have, you know, you're simultaneously have people saying the president doesn't know anything about manufacturing. You should stop talking about it. But then we need to put him in charge of all manufacturing and distribution of critical supplies in the country. There's not really a logic a relationship there between those two. But it was, you know, you saw a lot of people. I think there's certain folks on the left and also some folks on the right who thought that this was from a public relations standpoint, at least, an important thing to do. But I think what you have to think about is, what will this actually do in terms of producing more and better ventilators? That's the question right now, and no one has been able to describe what invoking the Defense Production Act will do in terms of moving the needle on those two questions.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we sit right now, and we'll be watching to see if anything else comes out of this. But yeah, as you said, this is uncharted territory, and everyone's just sort of watching it and taking it in.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I guess, you know, every day brings kind of a new thing. The main thing, I worry a little bit, about overall the health of our businesses with nothing going on, basically, except, I guess, you know, we got to eat and we got to keep the lights on at home. You know, the most basic businesses are still functioning. We got to get gasoline and stuff like that. But I'm worried about so many others. I mean, I don't know. I wonder how long we could just continue under this clampdown, you know, without some permanent damage. Do you have any feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. I mean, we knew, the last couple of weeks, been trying to address these kind of short-term cash flow problems that businesses have been having. You know, they've still got bills to pay, and revenue isn't coming in because people are staying home or their businesses have been ordered to close. Now, I think in terms of bailouts, and kind of economic policy responses, I think there's a strong case to be made, especially if your business has been closed by government order, that this is a taking. The government took your ability to earn a living and should give you just compensation for that. You know, and then we're a little further down the line, we're looking at solvency issues for some companies if they're still, paying out bills with no revenue coming in. And that's where you could potentially see the longer-term damage. If we were to see a wave of bankruptcies and then you saw investors being very cautious and not willing to pick up the pieces of those bankrupt companies and relaunch new businesses, that's where you could see more harmful, longer-term economic dislocation. And that's what sort of a lot of, I think that was, members of Congress were saying that they were trying to address that. Their first three bills, I think, were not necessarily all that well tailored to those goals. But hopefully that is the level of clarity that they have. I think we know right now that those are the two big issues facing our private sector right now, near term and a little bit longer term, still near term. But these should be treated as emergencies. And I think the real danger is trying to take an emergency response, a policy response, and then enact that permanently. Yeah. That's where you could also see longer-term dangers. If we decide this is the time we're going to rewire the economy through government edict, that's where over time you could see a lot of those costs build up, a lot of businesses fail. So I think we should be treating this still as a temporary emergency and address these problems as temporary, not trying to find permanent solutions. I think that gets you down the wrong path and doesn't set us up for success once this subsides.
Right. Well, Mark, always a pleasure to have you. Stay safe. I want to be able to talk with you again down the road. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Paul.
All righty. Mark Scribner, we're going to take our break. When we come back, you know, the state of New York is going through, I guess, the worst of every state right now. We're going to talk with our eye in the sky in that state, Angelo Ceresi. So stay tuned.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart. 'Cause I am so afraid that we will have to part.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday. I hope you're hunkered down safely, wherever you are, and be safe. Delighted to have our eye in the northern sky with us, Angelo Ceresi, who we talk with every Monday, kind of get a perspective about what is going on up there. And Angelo, you know, New York is the one state that's been more probably in the news about the virus than any other state. We see Governor Cuomo, the governor of New York, on, I think he gets more FaceTime on television than even President Trump.
And Trump, yeah.
These days. I mean, if the guy has any ambitions to continue up in the political world, he's certainly getting the spotlight right now. So, but, you know, this is the center, I would suggest, in the country. This is the center of this pandemic. And because of the city of New York itself. How are things going? Go ahead.
Well, here in Monroe County, in Rochester, we've got total number of cases to 223. We've had six deaths so far.
You have had six deaths, yes, in your county?
In our county. Of the 223 cases, 48 people have recovered from the disease, and 367 people are in mandatory quarantine or isolation.
Wow.
And
explain to everybody where your county is located.
Well, our county,
in comparison to where New York City is, et cetera.
We're up on the top. If you take a look at the map of the state of New York, we are right up on Lake Ontario. And New York City is right down. You see the little island off that breaks off of the state, right? That's New York City down there.
So you're
We are all the way up, which is probably about 4-hour drive, 5-hour, maybe 6-hour drive.
I wanted to give people some perspective on just exactly. So you're not directly influenced, although you're still in New York, but you're not directly influenced perhaps by all the hustle and bustle of the Big Apple, but it's...
Well, I guess, you know, it's like we have several major hospitals that deal, you know, with... quite a bit of New York State. When a lot of things happen, patients may be flown to like Rochester General Hospital for the heart, which is part of the Heart Institute of Cleveland. And you got Strong Memorial Hospital, which is a teaching hospital, which is world renowned too. Both hospitals, you know, and they're very huge hospitals, and you know they do a lot of research and everything like that. And I guess, you know, a lot of companies up here, upstate New York, have been producing the masks that and gowns, you know, that the doctors and nurses would be wearing, because you know we used to have the Fashion Park would be a clothing business and everything up here a long time ago, and it used to be, you know, so they got them working on a lot of these things that the doctors and nurses are going to be wearing.
Right. We're talking with Angelo Ceresi. He is up there ensconced in the great state of New York. And Angelo, a week ago, I asked you a question about, you know, traffic outside and this and that. Since, for one full week since then, since we last talked, have you had a chance to venture out at all? And
I did. I went out yesterday. It was like 68 degrees, you know. By the time I went out, it was like 64, 65 degrees. There's traffic on the road, you know, but not like it used to be. I mean, the doctor called me last week after we had talked, and the heart and lung doctor, and she advised me not to really go into any business or any place because I'm at a high risk, you know.
Right.
Because of the heart thing, and I have like two cysts on my lungs from like when I was in Vietnam. I contracted something out there, you know, so they told me to kind of stay in, which I have. And I ventured out yesterday. The wife and I took a ride out, you know, down by the lake and everything. And I'll be honest with you, it was dead. I mean, it's like a ghost town down in the area. And usually at this time of year with spring and summer coming around the corner, it's usually pretty busy, you know.
I mean, you know, just a couple of months ago, no one would have ever thought that we would be in a situation like this. It's amazing.
Well, here's an interesting story. A friend of mine, a real good friend of mine, his mother went to the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and she has a confirmed case of coronavirus. She's 97 years old. She was living at her daughter's house and her son-in-law's house. They are both tested positive for the coronavirus. So, you know, it's close to me now.
Wow.
Because a friend of mine, a real good friend of mine, I mean, and we had, you know, a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks ago, we went for coffee, you know,
Right.
Stuff.
Now, you said she's 97. So she was very, very vulnerable to this.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So,
and he was telling me that you know, she's stable now, but you know, I guess if he gets to a certain point, you have to be put onto a ventilator.
Yes.
And she told the doctor she does not want a ventilator.
It's very yeah. We just had a guest prior to you that we were talking about the whole ventilator situation with General Motors and making those ventilators, but I don't know anyone personally. Directly that has contracted this virus, but I'm beginning to wonder how many of us do, and you do, and I'm not sure if Andrew, your brother, does, but you know, he comes in contact with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting to that point, you know. Now, President Trump has extended the kind of you know, stay at home philosophy that he was hoping he could end by Easter.
And yeah, but it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen at this point, apparently. He's backed off of that. So it looks like we're still on the rise.
I think Dr. Fauci, you know, if I heard him correctly, he says this, you know, you can't predict a timeline. The only thing that's going to predict that timeline is the virus itself.
Yeah.
And, you know, yesterday when my wife and I took dog with us too, I mean, we went down by the lake. You see these young couples. I mean, there were some young couples out there. They're standing and hanging out together like, you know, people, you have to understand, you can't be doing this. And it's the young people that are, you know, standing in groups, hanging out together, you know.
Yes.
They were doing it in Florida down on the beach.
But, you know, it's like herding cats, Angelo. You're just not going to get them all going
more,
in one direction,
I mean,
no matter
inside.
How hard.
What? I'm staying inside. I know I have to do it. You know, I don't want to catch this thing from what I see is happening, you know?
It's
taking its toll. Now, like I said, his mother just went to the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and she contracted it by going into the hospital. Has to be. I mean, he's been trying to figure out how, you know, she contracted this thing. You know?
Wow.
I mean, so it is serious, you know? So,
well,
and, you know, from what I gather, you know, look at baseball. They're going to put it off until May, maybe.
Yeah.
Opening season.
A really strange. Well, like we said earlier on the show, I don't know if you were able to catch it, but the two things that this one doctor out of the, this immunologist that was on the Jesse Waters program over the weekend. He said the two things you got to do, which would give you a 99% chance of not getting it, he said, is don't touch anybody and don't touch your face. Plus, wash your hands every time you come in.
Stay put.
But don't touch anybody physically, because he said that's the easiest way to get it transmitted from a carrier. And do not touch your face. Yeah, just learn whatever habits you can, you know, I mean, whatever way you can get out of the habit of touching your face, do so.
You have to touch your face when you're shaving.
You do, but you can wash your hands thoroughly before you do that. And when you come in from somewhere, as you know, wash your hands like you're about to conduct a surgery.
Right.
you know. Well, Angelo, it's always a pleasure. I'm glad to hear you're safe and sound and ensconced in your home there in New York. And God willing, we'll be talking again next week, and maybe next Monday things will be a little better.
Hopefully, we'll see what happens now, you know.
Exactly right. Well, keep safe, my friend.
Okay, you too. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure here. All right. Angelo, our eye in the northern sky. By the way, Ed, we got good news on the stock market front. 332 points to the good so far. All right. We are going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about two things. One is the price of oil is just dropping through the floor. And secondly, is there a chance that the virus, after we get over it, can come back and rebound?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tantalk Radio Network, both myself and Big Ed, and we really appreciate your being with us. And Ed, you had mentioned earlier that the price of gasoline here in Tampa Bay, specifically right around here in Pinellas County, is going through the floor. And just to kind of follow up on that, West Texas Intermediate crude oil, which is one of the major crudes that is dispensed here in the United States, has tumbled below $20 a barrel. That is an amazing amount.
I heard that they were trading just below $20.
Can you believe that?
Not since 2002.
Yeah. And the slide comes after prices plunged on Friday in response to Saudi Arabia saying it's not talking with Russia. So they're not, you know.
Yeah, they're feuding.
Which is good for us.
Yeah.
So I mean,
if I could be there, I'd probably throw a little gas on the fire. So to speak. Hey, Russia, do you hear what Saudi Arabia said about you? Are you going to take that lion down?
There you go. And plunging oil prices could be headed a lot lower. I wonder if we'll get under a buck. Wouldn't that be amazing if we got under a buck?
I saw somebody yesterday at $1.54, but then I guess that was just for a little while, and they put it back up to $1.60 something.
But, so where is it right now? And say I went to 7-Eleven or I went to
they're averaging anywhere from $1.70 to $1.79 right now. And there's some places as you get close to the beach. The beaches are $1.91.
Yeah. But, you know, people aren't driving as much, right? Because they're not going to work.
Right.
So it sort of compounds the whole thing. Very interesting. Okay. Now, this is kind of a scary deal, but as many as 10% of recovered virus patients in China tested positive again. As many as 10% after being discharged from the hospital. Doctors on the front lines of the outbreak in Wuhan, China, where the thing started, reported that between 3 and 10% of cured patients became reinfected with the illness, though it's unclear whether they were contagious the second time. In other words, could spread it to somebody else, even if they got it again. The hospital there, which identified the very first virus case in the world, confirmed that five of their 145 patients, a little over 3%, tested positive again. And but it says here, so far, no evidence to suggest that those people are infectious. Now, so that begs the question, if you can get something again, like a cold, you can get a cold again, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can get the flu again. Even yep. though they get, you take a flu shot, right, the next mm-hmm. season that it comes around again, you can get it. So it might be that that will be what this kind of a thing is, too. And you're going to have a vaccine or something, right?
Just hard to believe anything comes out of China, though, you know?
Yeah, it is hard to believe that. That's true. And you know, now the media is saying that the United States is number one in cases. Oh, come on. Come on. You know China's got many, many more people that have the virus than we do. I can't buy that. No matter what the media says. That, you know, China's... You can't believe anything,
yeah.
unfortunately, that comes out of their mouths over there. So, anyway... But they are saying that some people are getting the virus after they had been cured. And we'll see how all of that plays out. Now, President Trump, he, of course, was on again yesterday, and he took a lot of questions from the media. And he said this morning, he was on Fox and Friends, I'll say one thing for Trump. Love him or hate him, the guy has the energy of a 10-year-old kid. Yeah. He is everywhere. I mean, he's up early. He's on Fox and Friends, you know. That's before 9 a.m. And, I mean, I just...
He has to deal with impeachments and...
Yeah.
Pelosi running her mouth now.
I know. Yeah, Pelosi. There she... To say some of the things that she did... about how people are dying because of Donald Trump. She goes on Meet the Press.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about that? She goes on Meet the Press. What are you talking about? How dare you say that? And particularly when we're trying to come together.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, what? That's ghoulish, the things that she was saying, that Trump had, you know, has blood on his hands. Ghoulish.
Mm.
Trump, in an interview this morning, predicted the coronavirus cases in America will likely peak around Easter. Around Easter time. And that's around, I think it's April the 12th, if I'm not mistaken. Sunday, April the 12th. But so he says, you know, we're going to extend the social distancing guidelines through the end of April now. So that's the way it's going to go.
Well, I mean, if we avoid contact and stay at home or whatever. If we all do our part, I think it goes that way. But, you know, like Angelo said, that there's the young folks around here are just, they're not educated, I guess. I don't know.
How you are when you're young.
I know, but, you know.
You're impulsive and you're not going to get sick.
There's
that's
a little
what
thing
they
called parenting comes in. And you sit them down and say, it's not just about you getting sick, but you being a carrier and taking it home to grandma and grandpa, and they could potentially die from
it. That's right. Like you talked about that 97-year-old woman. Wow. If people like that get it, no matter how they get it.
Stay home. You still got the internet. You still got your Xbox. Still got TV, you know?
Thank God. Yeah. Can you imagine back in those epidemics before television? I guess radio, but even before radio? What did you do?
It's funny. I went and bought a lottery ticket this weekend. I said, you know, it'll be my luck. I'll win the lotto and no place to spend the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that would be a nightmare. Yeah. That would be a nightmare.
Hey, you got $25 million in your account. Come on, let's go celebrate.
All right. Well, And it's time for our top 10. Ed, I don't know if you remember, but it seems like a trillion years ago, we actually did the least obese states in the United States. And just to remind you, the number one state that was least obese is the state you go to ski all the time.
Colorado.
So, yeah, Colorado. So I'm gonna see if you can guess which one is the most. Now, this is...
Who's the porker?
Yeah, the porker. These are the 10 most obese states in the U.S., and the percentage of obese adults living in the location per Consumer Protect. Apparently, they analyzed data from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. So here we go. Top 10 most obese states. Number 10. South Carolina, 34% of their people are overweight. 34, that's one-third of their population. Number 9, Alaska. Well, it's so cold up there, you sit around and eat,
yep.
I guess. 34.2% in Alaska. Number 8, Kentucky. They're eating all that Kentucky Fried Chicken, 34.3%. Number 7, Arkansas. Hey, we're in the South quite a bit, are we not? Arkansas, 35%. Number 6, Louisiana. They're all going down to watch the Mardi Gras.
It's all that Cajun cooking.
And all that Cajun cooking, 36.2%. Number 5, Alabama. You know, again,
wow.
I know. They're all in the South. Alabama, you know, with the peanuts and all of that kind of thing. I don't know. They like fried chicken in Alabama, 36.3%. Number 4, hey, we leave the South. Iowa. What?
Yep.
What's Iowa doing?
I was just going to say, where's Iowa in this thing?
Really?
Yeah. And or the Dakotas.
They got a lot of milk, corn.
The Dakotas, too.
Yeah. Well, Iowa's number 4. I guess, I don't know. Maybe there's nothing to do in Iowa. Number 3, Oklahoma. Now, they've been pumping a lot of gas. Well, no, they haven't, now that I think about it. But Oklahoma, another place, very interesting. They have 36% of their people overweight. Wow. Number 2. Well, back to the South. Mississippi. Figured Mississippi would be in there somewhere. 37%. Okay, Ed. You heard 9 of them. I hope you remember which ones they were. I don't want to hear you
say. I'm going to stay in the South and say Georgia.
Okay. Here we go. It is not Georgia. And in fact, let me give you another hint. A lot of people they're working the coal mining industry.
Virginia.
Well, not exactly.
West Virginia.
Yes. West Virginia. 38.1% of the people in West Virginia are obese.
You know, some of them only work half the year.
Maybe that's
checks
it.
The other half because it's cold.
So they sit inside and just kind of watch TV and... Got to get them out there exercising a little bit more. Now, right now, now that I think about it, with all of us hunkered down, maybe the obesity rate's going to increase for a while.
And the pregnancy rate.
And the pregnancy rate.
And you the alcoholics.
Right. And that's another one. Kind of scary there. All right. Well, thank you so very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern time. So remember, wash your hands. Don't touch people. Don't touch your face. And remember, the freedom works. Late December.